I'd like to encourage you to take out your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, we'll read a text from that opening in just a moment. To begin with, I'd like to clear something up that might cause confusion. Sometimes, when we use the term Messiah, other times we might say the word Christ. What do they each mean, and what's the difference? Well, the term Messiah is a Hebrew word, and the term Christ is a Greek word. But both terms, Messiah and Christ, mean the anointed or chosen one. In fact, the word anointed was sometimes used of the kings of Israel, David in particular, referring to the fact that he was chosen by God to serve in God's kingdom. Now, the terms Messiah and Christ are given greater significance when they refer to and are used as appropriate titles for Jesus, who is the Lord's anointed one, the Lord's chosen one, and in fact, the Lord's son. Really, when we read through the Bible, we see that the Bible, it's all about Jesus, who is God's anointed. I'd like to begin by thinking about the fact that throughout the Old Testament scriptures, the constant theme is the Messiah is coming. The earliest reference we have to one who is coming to work out God's plan of salvation for mankind is found in Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse 15. This is what God said to the serpent after Adam and Eve had sinned. God said to Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now God is vague as to who this is that will come, her seed, that he will bruise the head of Satan, and that his heel will be bruised by Satan. But God reveals that throughout the pages of Scripture. Turn over to chapter 12, for example. In time the Lord chose Abraham to be the man through whom his anointed one would come. In Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Now it's verse 3 that really points directly to the coming one, the Messiah. The first promises are about the nation and about the land, and those would both be fulfilled within the Old Testament. But that last promise, that third promise in verse 3 is, "In you, Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now the Lord narrows the promise by identifying one of Abraham's sons through whom this anointed one would come. This is in Genesis chapter 21. And there's just a simple statement made at the end of verse 12, Genesis 21, verse 12. The latter portion of that verse reads, "And in Isaac your seed shall be called." And this promise is then rehearsed in Genesis 26 and Genesis 28. But I'll have you turn to Genesis chapter 49, because this is years later. Jacob, who is Abraham's grandson, blesses his children, and he gives this very special and messianic promise about the anointed, the Messiah, who is to come. So in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, we read, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people." And again, this is somewhat vague, but we're starting to see the refinement of the promise. Now, it's not a change on God's part with regards to his plan or his chosen one, but it's in the revelation that God exposes or provides more information about this one who is to come. Now, let's take our Bibles and go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, because in Deuteronomy chapter 18, we're fast-forwarding several years, and we want to listen to the words of the prophet Moses. In Deuteronomy 18, at this point, Moses has been chosen by God to be the deliverer of Israel from Egypt to the promised land. Moses is the one who is a prophet of God and gives the law to God's people at Mount Sinai. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, God says through Moses, the prophet, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." Now, there are a lot of prophets who were alive during the Old Testament times, but there is only one who is like Moses in this way, one who gives law. And, of course, this is talking about the Messiah, the Anointed One, promised from long ago. Now, let's turn to John chapter 1. And understand that there are certainly more messianic promises and prophecies in the Old Testament. But these that we've studied in brief help to establish the fact that the message of the Old Testament is of the Messiah who is coming. The first part of the New Testament, which we commonly call the Gospels, that is the Good News, makes clear that the Messiah, the Anointed One, has come. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, John records, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." We skip down to verse 14 of the same opening, John chapter 1, verse 14, in which we find that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him, and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Now what John the Apostle is doing is saying, "I am an eyewitness to this." And also we have John the Baptist, who is also a witness of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And he is the glory of the Father. He is full of grace and of truth. He is the one who is preferred above and before John. Now later in the chapter, let's go down to verse 35, when Jesus was approximately 30 years old, John directed his disciples, that is John the Baptist, directed his disciples to leave and to follow after Jesus. And so we take up the reading in verse 35 of John chapter 1. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came, and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated, "the Christ." And so you see, the Lord's anointed was here upon the earth, walking, talking, and living among mankind. And he is able to be identified not only by the Holy Spirit of God, but by man who observed him, who heard him, and who heard the prophecies and promises concerning him. We have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. Now when Jesus was speaking with the woman at the well, and this is found in John chapter 4, she brings up the subject of the Messiah. In John chapter 4, verse 25, this Samaritan woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Now notice, Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And he proves to her that he is, in fact, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised and anointed one, by speaking to her about things that only God could know. Now not only does Jesus identify himself as the Lord's anointed, but the Holy Spirit of God confirms this truth by referring us back to the promises of Abraham and of Moses. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. This is when Peter and John were in the temple, and Peter opens his mouth and begins preaching Jesus in the temple. In Acts chapter 3, verse 22, that's where we take up the text. Verse 22 says, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. yes, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. You see, Peter's sermon there is about Jesus, and he goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, which we read a moment ago, and to Genesis chapter 12, which we also read a moment ago. And he said, It's this Jesus who is the Messiah, who is the Lord's anointed, through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. God sent him to bless you in turning every one of you away from your iniquities. This is what Paul had to say in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Now, though we've not read all of the relevant passages in the Scriptures, it should be abundantly clear that the Gospels proclaim that the Messiah, the Lord's Anointed One, has come in the person of Jesus. Jesus Christ. Now let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1. In the beginning of Acts, Luke records what the apostles witnessed as Jesus stood with them. Now remember, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is in his resurrected body. And it says in verse 9 beginning, Now when Jesus had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. They watched, they heard, and they know that the same Jesus will come again. Now, there's a lot that I'd like to discuss regarding the return of Christ. Remember in the Old Testament, the anticipation of the coming Messiah is the culmination of God's plan for the salvation of mankind. Remember Genesis 12, that promise to Abraham, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Jesus made a promise to his disciples. Let's look at that in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, Jesus said a lot to his disciples in preparation for his death and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. In fact, that's recorded in John 14, 15, and 16. But let's look at John 14 for just a moment in verse 2 and 3. John 14, beginning in verse 2. Jesus said, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so you see, the promise that Jesus made in John 14 said, If I go, then you can rest assured I will come again. And what they observed in Acts chapter 1 days later was Jesus went to heaven. He was taken up into the clouds, and the promise from the angels is this: the same Jesus will come again. Now let's go to Acts chapter 17 and consider there's also this proof. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is proof positive that he will return. This is what Paul had to say in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, as he spoke to the Athenians at Mars Hill. He said in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, beginning, Truly these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And so there's just a lot that we could say about the second coming of Christ, but I think we need to address what's being said here by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul in this text. we need to think seriously about the great and final judgment, because that will take place when the Lord returns. In Acts chapter 17, again, notice the text with me in verse 30. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. He's saying God is commanding you to turn. Turn from your sin. Turn to God in obedience. Why? Because He, God, has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. And He's given us assurance of this by raising Him from the dead. Everyone will be there, both the living and the dead, and it will be a time in which we will each give account of our lives. It's the words of Jesus, God's anointed one, that will judge us. Remember He said there, He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained? Well, this is what Jesus had to say in John chapter 12 and verse 48. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 20. We're given a brief glimpse into heaven at the throne scene as presented by the Holy Spirit in Revelation chapter 20. We're going to begin reading in verse 11 down through verse 13 of Revelation chapter 20. John writes what he saw. And in verse 11 he begins by saying, Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead, and who were in it? And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Can you imagine standing there before the throne of God and being judged by the Word of God and your choices in this life? That's what's taking place in that great scene in Revelation chapter 20. One day we won't have to imagine that. One day we will be there. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read verse 10. And consider that we need to prepare now, today, while we have the opportunity, because when He returns, there won't be any more time. There won't be another chance. There won't be a later. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, wrote, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now our God has been working out His plan for our salvation since the beginning, and it's vital that we participate in that plan. The Old Testament tells us that He would send the Messiah, His anointed one. The Gospels reveal to us that it is Jesus who is the Anointed One, the Christ. And the New Testament tells us that Jesus ascended to the right hand of God, but it also promises that He will return again. Now let's consider the words of Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. If Jesus is going to come again as the final judge, and His words are the standard by which we will be judged, it's important that we learn what His words are, and more than that, that we do them, that we obey Him. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus says of that great and final day that we all approach, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Those who do His will enter the kingdom of heaven with God. However, those who won't will receive condemnation and eternal punishment. What will Jesus Christ say to you when you stand before Him and His throne. What you decide to do today has a bearing on what He will say then. Listen to the words of Jesus and obey the words of Jesus. Become a child of God today through repentance and being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now that we've come to the end of the lesson, I'd like to extend an offer to you regarding our Wednesday evening Bible study. Wednesday evening at 7:30, we're going to be having a study of the parables of Jesus. Everyone's invited to participate in this online class using the Zoom application. You can use your smartphone, a tablet, or a laptop computer to log into the meeting. Once you're there, you'll be able to see and to hear all who are participating in the class and to discuss the Word of God with us. The details for this particular meeting will be provided in an email and a text message that's sent out to all the members of the website and of the church. If you don't have a way of using the Zoom application, you can still join us. Just call the phone number that's at the bottom of the invitation, and in this way, you'll be able to hear the Bible discussion that's being conducted by the members of the class. For all others, the Bible class that was conducted last week has been recorded, and we're going to make that available to you for listening purposes on the congregation's website on the Bible class webpage. If you need help in connecting with either of these things, either the pre-recorded class or the online class, then please let me know so that I can help you get connected as soon as possible. I sure hope you'll be able to join us in the upcoming class. And please, stay safe, and don't forget, keep reading your Bible.